You are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra. This is the Now Boarding Travel Show with Dan and Jim. Dan, here we are again. This time I'm calling the shots as we are doing a recording from the studio in Singapore. Dan, how are you today?
Jimmy, I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for taking on this responsibility. It's once in a blue moon. And each time it's tremendously well done, as you are a master technician. But I am good here in upstate New York, and it's a beautiful sunny morning. Everything's well.
Dan, I'm really happy to hear that. That's great. It is my understanding that you have a trip coming up soon.
Just a side trip, just a quick getaway to Portland, Maine. I have not been there, and that's my intention for this weekend. And after I go there, I will report back to you and to all of our listeners and see what discoveries I've had.
Dan, I'm actually quite surprised because I told my mom you were going to Oregon.
Well, that's the beauty in not really identifying specifically. So that's why I told you Portland. You know, I didn't want to pinpoint myself to the possibility that you were to tell many people. I just wanted to make it obscure, Jimmy. So I should, you know, I was either going to put a comma ME or a comma whatever Oregon's abbreviations are, but I just didn't want to.
No, I mean, now I understand why. I guess well, you know, they always say a thing about assuming, and we won't say that, but we all know. So I guess I'm just the butt of the joke on this one.
That's all right. It's no problem, but yes, I'm heading to the northeast, not the northwest.
And what is your plans for Portland, Maine?
Just to see a new town and walk around and, you know, take in some of the good cuisine and whatnot and walk along the harbor and see what there is to offer. Just the same schedule as many of my other trips, Jimmy. Just go without any great knowledge of the place and let it all hit you.
Now, Dan, can't you, going to the harbor, can you actually even go to the harbor this time of year in Maine?
I have no idea. Like I said, it's going into a place with the least amount of knowledge and experiencing it all the better because of that fact.
I mean, should I say goodbye to you in case you get eaten by the abominable snowman or what?
I don't know if the abominable hangs out harbors, Jimmy, but we'll, you know, we'll see. I don't think he's this far south. I think it's 2 miles of a area for the abominable.
I mean, the abominable, from my understanding, loves seafood. So, I mean, where else would he hang out? I mean, I believe he could survive around Portland, Maine. A little bit south of that, Boston, my God, he'll melt. But, I mean, Portland, that's probably survivable for him. Prime area, if you ask me. Get some nice snapper there.
Yeah, right. I think it's Hudson Bay is the primary, residence. But we'll see. If I see him, Jimmy, I'll do my best to have other people with me who might be overtaken before I am, and we'll see about that. But that, of course, would be other tourists. No one, and that's it. But well, you know, that's usually my protocol. If I go into a place of danger, if there's other people around me, I assess them, and if they seem like they're a little weaker than me, then I have some assurance.
No, I mean, for sure. No blames there. I hear you for sure. So, that's a great trip. I'm happy you're actually getting out there. I'm happy you're not going to be working this weekend. And I'm happy you're getting out and exploring the great Northeast. Now, Dan, last time we talked, you know, you're on the verge of your holiday season. So where else do you plan on, besides Portland, what else is out there for you? Dare I mention Singapore again, but what else are the other options for this winter for you?
Other options would be going out west in the U.S. or I'm thinking of going to Asheville, North Carolina once again to do some cycling down there, Jimmy. But that probably won't be till later February, early March, I'd imagine. And internationally, I don't know if at all I'm going to get out, but I've been inspired last few days as to getting those stirrings again, whether that be to go to Singapore. You know, it's not really hitting me all that much to do so. But anyway, that's to be known, to be said.
Dan, you know I've been trying forever and ever and ever to get somebody here.
I know.
3 years, still no one.
Yeah, you know, could be worse. I think you're prospering quite well where you are. As we do this broadcast, you're always in your plush condo and high above the rest of Singapore.
Dan, I may be high above some people in Singapore as I do stay on the 14th floor, but I stay in a normal high-density building, HDB flat, not a condo.
You're not at the, what is it, the Mandalay Bay? What is that called?
I think the Mandalay Bay is in Vegas, Dan.
What's the, that great feature in Singapore? You know what I'm trying to reference.
I do. That would be the Marina Bay Sands.
It sounds so close. That sounds so close.
I suppose. I'll give you some credit, like a half a point.
Oh, fair enough. All right. Jimmy, so where are we going today as you're leading this program, now boarding show on WGXC, where are you taking us? What's the agenda of today's show?
Well, Dan, as I just found out this morning that I would be hosting this show, I figured I would take you guys on a journey into my life a little bit, and just the fact that in less than 48 hours, I will be on a plane back to Thailand for the fourth time in 8 weeks. I am on pace right now to completely obliterate my record of 28 flights in the year 2015, and I am completely booked with travel through August of 2016. So before the year's even started, I'm already over halfway booked with travel. And this year, it seems it's actually going to be a lot of travel of being a tour guide and actually showing people what I've experienced, which is quite awesome. It's something I've always wanted, you know, it's always been pushing for. So a lot of my friends around here haven't been to certain areas of Asia, and I'll be touring them around. In addition, I will have one lucky vacation where I will be going in mid-April to Thailand for Songkran, which is the Thai New Year. I will be going with my girlfriend. Yep, I said it. My girlfriend and her family. I'm quite looking forward to it. And I imagine it to be a very unique and exciting experience. Other than that, from there, I won't be going anywhere until I come back to the U.S., which will be in July, likely for a week and a half. Before that, there's one other trip planned, and that is kind of on the down low at the moment for certain reasons I cannot talk about on the air.
Okay. Very nice.
Yes.
That sounds incredible that you have yourself scheduled that far out in the year, Jim.
Well, it actually all happened within the last about 4 days from me canceling my trip back to last week I decided I would not come back to New York in February like I originally planned. And that was basically just because it didn't really make any sense for me to come back. And, you know, I just didn't, I mean, you and I talked about possibly, and actually I never got back on this, and I apologize for that, but you and I talked about a potential East to West Coast road trip, but when I actually looked into it, it wasn't feasible for the time I'd be allotted to come to the U.S. during that period, because my leave is actually allocated by, it's accrued. So I don't get it all in the beginning of the year. It accrues over the whole year. And I don't have an incentive to push it over because I don't only get a percentage of the actual days if I don't use them all. So you're encouraged to use them all, but really you don't really use them to the end of the year, which is okay with me. It's probably good for me. Otherwise, I'd use them all in the first month and I'd have a problem the rest of the 11 months. But yeah, so that being said, I decided I will not come home in February. And right after that, another big thing happened within 48 hours. And that was basically one big trip that's coming up in the next 3 months. And then I have the April trip, which also just came about within the last week. And then I always had planned, I mean, I'm going to be the ordained minister for a good friend of mine's wedding in New York in July, which also coincides with my 30th birthday. So where better to be for my 30th birthday than on an airplane where I belong, because I'll be commuting back from the U.S. to Singapore during my birthday.
Okay. Wow. It's, Jimmy, we're all looking forward to that. We're all anticipating you coming in about a month's time, but we're less than a month now. So this is it's taken with a little disappointment, but – you know, July will come quickly. So, and congratulations on your new relationship. I think there's going to be a lot of travel involved and a lot of stories that you can share with all of us.
Oh, did I mention that on the air? Oh, oops.
Exactly. So, you know, new relationships, that's a great way to start the new year. Everyone should get a new relationship in terms of just a friend or whoever, Jimmy, you know, multiple friends in a friendship relationship, that's all good. So it's always a good way to begin right in January.
You know, Dan, I agree. And this girl actually, you know, didn't – I mean, I'm not going to go over the story of how we met. It's almost just as crazy as the girl that I met that got me here. It's very similar, except the distance, instead of it being 10,000 miles, it's only 1,200 miles. So it's you know, just a quick flight from New York to Florida, basically. But this girl is just a very genuine girl, maybe one of the most genuine girls I've ever met in my life, Dan. And I don't know, obviously myself, I'm not the most innocent as well, again, we're on the radio and the public can hear this, so I'm very innocent. But anyways, moving on. And this girl just, I don't know, there's something about her that just really struck me right from the very beginning. Before I even met her face to face, there was something I just knew about her that was special. And yeah, I've been back to Thailand since then 3 times, going on a 4th time, and I'm just going with it.
That sounds great, Jimmy. We wish you all the luck, and they say we hope the best. So... and I know that's going to be filled with great stories, so we'll all be awaiting anxiously to hear all of that on our program. So, yeah, very good.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, I'm always like to be the storyteller. Always have, always will, I imagine. And, yeah, we'll just go with it and see what happens. But, yeah, I'm very happy right now, and I hope things continue to work out. And... as always, only time will tell, and now I'm just going with it, living the dream, and going on vacation while being on a going on 3-year vacation, and getting paid for
tonight.
It.
Okay, that's, you know, I don't know if anyone could arrange themselves better than that, how you did it, you know, saying that you're on 3 years vacation and getting paid for it. It's pretty spectacular. Jimmy, as of our last show, we had... a good amount of controversial conversation in the way of
asking Oh, the Canada.
Yes, and that was even met with a call-in from one of our listeners, and he gave a great contribution with his experiences to Quebec across the years. I think he mentioned he had been there 40 times, and he had countered your opinion on it, which was, you know, he offered a great, great argument, and you were actually invited to travel. Hopefully we can meet with one our listener here, and when you return, you know, whenever you do, maybe we'll have further developments there. But anyway, my point is that I'd like to ask you the question, aside from your primary source of gaining experience through traveling, that is going to these locations, where do you draw your inspirations elsewhere? Do you read articles? Do you simply just watch documentaries or travel programs yourself? You know, when you are in your luxury apartment.
Dan, I do not live in a luxury apartment. I live in a high density building, which is equivalent to a normal Singaporean. I do not live in a condo. Yes, I live on the 14th floor, probably because people are scared of heights. That's it.
Okay. All right. And you are not. I could have a story to say otherwise, but we'll get there eventually. Anyway, my question is, where do you draw your inspiration on a dark, cold, well, you never have cold, dark, sweltering night in Singapore, in your condominium? Where do you...
Dan, I do not live in a condominium. I will answer your question.
Okay, go ahead.
So, where do I draw my inspiration from? Actually, I think the bulk of it is from music and movies. Specifically, one artist that you really got me into, and that is,
okay,
you know him, Mr. Miami himself, from Dade County, your boy Pitbull.
Okay.
I can listen to his songs all the time, and when I listen to his songs, it makes me want to get on a plane, and usually within 24 hours later, I'm booked on a plane to go somewhere. That's one.
Okay.
A little bit more is movies. And, I mean, you know, my favorite movie of all time ever is Up in the Air.
Yeah.
I also love movies like Into the Wild with Emile Hirsch. Great movie, obviously based on the book. And, you know, things like that. I mean, I watch a movie like that. I mean, hey, honestly, Up in the Air could be credited with the reason why I'm in Singapore. Because although many other people came into play, if you go back to the very, 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 very beginning, the one thing that triggered Singapore, it was right after I watched Up in the Air. I went on the internet. I looked up flights to Singapore because I just wanted to get the airline miles. At this point, you know, in the movie Up in the Air, for those who haven't seen it without giving anything away, you have this guy who has a massive amount of airline miles, and he eventually hits the 1 billion mark of airline miles, of which I am a quarter of the way there now, a little over. And, you know, it's just like, you know, he's living the life, exploring all. I mean, he's kind of a depressed being, but he's exploring the world. More like exploring America. He does more domestic than international, I think. But it just inspired me. And right after I watched that movie, Dan, as you know, literally 3 years ago, almost from the day, literally 3 years, 2 weeks ago, I pulled the trigger on, hey, let me go to Singapore because it's the farthest place I can go and I can get the most airline miles by flying here. I tried, Dan, to get a seat in a hotel room on the space station, but NASA would not send me up there. Go figure.
Well, you know, you don't have a million miles yet, Jimmy. So I think that you have to graduate to that level, and then they consider you. So, you know, just make it point to get that accomplished, and then I think he'll probably move on to the NASA club, but we'll see. Anyway, that's great that you have been so inspired from that film. You know, it's led you 250,000 miles in the air. But as I would like to mention, my reading experience, probably where I draw my most inspiration, comes from a few sources. I would say from The Economist magazine, just you know, a great briefing of all the areas of the world, all the regions of the world, and then Cycling magazine, which is also a British publication. Cyclist is the magazine itself. Being that I like to bike, and if I travel somewhere that's good weather and has good roads, then I am inclined to rent a bicycle there. And then I would say, from where I had taken our controversial subject from our last episode, I read an article off of BBC Travel, and I would say that would be my third source of inspiration in terms of travel, Jimmy. And, you know, the third, why I just mentioned BBC Travel, if you haven't looked into it, you really should. It is filled with great articles. One article that I'm reading at the moment, not literally at the moment, but when I have free time today, is Inside Spain's Secret Food Societies, which features a place that I've been, which is San Sebastian, Spain. And I like just to see what it describes, places that I've been or places that I haven't, you know? And that's very interesting to me. It's so well done. And it also gets your mind stimulated, even if you, and many times when you disagree with points that they have, which you did our last show wholeheartedly.
Yes, Dan, no, you're absolutely right, and I believe I have my reasons for it. However, as I said to our listener and as I've said to you in the past, I am open to second chances. I believe everyone, and in this case every country, deserves a second chance. So I'm giving it to them. Whether they will accept it, I don't know. To be honest, nor do I care. That being said, Dan, yeah, I mean, I'm very excited. I mean, I think one thing, you know, so let me be honest with you and honest with our listeners that there are moments where I'm just like, you know, I just don't understand why Dan won't come to Singapore and visit me. You know, he's got a free place to stay. You have someone who is determined to show him around, not just through Singapore, but through other countries in Southeast Asia. And you know, it's like, it used to really eat me up for about the first 6 months I was here, I didn't care about that. I was just trying to survive. Once I got that job, basically one year in to Singapore to about 2 years in, I was like, you know, I still understand, you know, I just want him to come here and I want to show him a great time and show him, you know, just give him some culture that he would never experience, because I'm going to give him culture from the insider's perspective, from actual locals, because, you know, I've been here for a year and I've met locals and they've shown me these things and I was going to show him that. But I understand now that, you know, to each your own. I mean, your big thing is cycling. And cycling here, I'm going to tell you right now, if you were cycling here, I'd probably try to break your legs, because let me tell you, there are so many people on bicycles here. And they cannot bicycle. And it's a danger. I'm not scared of cars hitting me. I'm scared of bicyclists hitting me. And they now all have the motorized bicycles. So now while zooming by, they all take the governor out. So they're like, neow, neow. They're like motorcycles, but I'm bicycles. I mean, come on. It is dangerous. But that's not where I was going with this. Where I was going is, I completely understand we all have our passions. For me, it's, you know, new cultures, more about the bar scene, the people scene. For you, it's more about the trails and this and that. And, you know, to each their own. As long as you're out there doing your thing and getting what you want and exploring what you want. I can't say anything anymore. I've given up. And I just hope that everyone gets to explore their own passions and can really seize the moment in them and can really take a jump.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, Jimmy, to further our program, I'd like to ask you, as you know, as the articles that I read here on these different publications, I find that what most stimulates me and what is most controversial is always the subject of opinion, obviously, but superlatives as to travel, best of a given subject. And I'd like to ask you your best of given subjects that I'm going to mention. So to begin with, I want to hear your best of drink atmosphere that you have been to. What has been the place among all your travels that you found the greatest drinking atmosphere that you have been in?
Well, Dan, I don't think there's really any competition. To be honest, I'm actually, there's one thing that first came to my mind, which, again, as all of our listeners know, we don't script this, we just wing it. And although this show may be recorded, due to prior travel obligations, you just told me it was going to be recorded earlier today, and basically we said, okay, hit the record button and we're going with it. So
yeah,
the first thing that came to my mind was Cancun, Mexico, and I don't think I can come up with anything even close.
Okay.
In terms of drinking party atmosphere, it's got to be hands down.
All right. So you wouldn't say a place that you were pleasantly surprised with in South Asia that you've stumbled on, just in terms of where you are now in your life? You know,
oh, my God, absolutely. Dan, no, absolutely, I can tell you a million places. But it's not just – Cancun is the whole – basically the whole city of Cancun is that. If I were to say
okay,
Singapore is that, I'd be lying because it's not. But
you know
there
what?
Are many, many, many places in Singapore where you can find much better party spots than Cancun. For example, you have the Zouk Club, which is one of the top 10 clubs in the whole entire world. That's just for an example.
Okay. Let me rephrase the question because I think this will produce different results. What has been the place of your greatest drinking experience of your travels? Not necessarily atmosphere, but where you found the most enjoyment. Your top three. I want to hear your top three.
Ooh, Dan, this is a great question. This is a great question. And I have to be honest. The first one that came to my mind, and this, okay, I have to think for a second. I mean, again, as I mentioned before to our listeners, this is not scripted. This is on the spot. So top three travel drinking destinations in terms of drinking bottles.
From your experiences.
Dan, it's a very difficult question. I'm just trying to think because I don't want to forget something. But one thing
I'll fill in right now and I'll name one of my top three. And it draws from my travel studying abroad in Morocco, and it was there that we were not always places that we were traveling. It was difficult to find for we who were college students and many of us who enjoyed some beer. It was difficult at points in the Islamic society and the regard and regulations thereof in Morocco to find available alcohol. But it could be done, and as if we were greedy treasure hunters, it was always one of our points to make accomplished. But anyway, I would say probably simply a couple Friday afternoons where we're done with our studies in our hometown of where we're staying with our homestay of our hometown of Rabat, capital of Morocco, simply going into one of the more disclosed bars, which they don't really advertise off the beaten path bar scenes whatsoever. So I would say simply, and it's simple and it's humble and it's without any glaze to it, but going there on a, let's say, a March afternoon, we've been done with our studies and, you know, our travels and our tribulations of just our different way of life there, and simply getting a cheese sandwich and drink and buying peanuts from a vendor and drinking as many special beers as we were content to do in a place that was more or less akin to a cinder block garage with old mildewing, sorted black drapes against the windows so as to conceal that this is not any institution. And we would go within that place and sit at tables that very much were not clean on the surface by the look of it, and simply rack up green bottles of Moroccan National Especial, sort of Pilsner-tasting, Pilsner, I'd say, beer, and as I say, have cheese sandwiches, peanuts, and just, you know, enjoy that. That'd be one of mine.
Dan, I think that's an awesome one. I've come up with two of mine. I'm just trying to find a third, and I mean, it's difficult. It's very difficult. I mean, it's...
Let's share one of the two that you've come up with. Go ahead.
Okay, so I feel like this one will probably fall into the number three spot. I just haven't figured out number one yet. So, although I haven't figured out number two yet either, and there's one missing. But I think number three actually has to be New Orleans. New Orleans, Louisiana.
Okay.
I mean, this is a place where you go there. I went there during Mardi Gras. And you go there, and it's buy one drink, get three free. I mean, crazy. Everyone's there, you know. Once the sun comes up, everyone, you know, just builds. It goes from party to insanity. And then it gets dark out. And then, you know, I mean, the werewolves come out and everything else, the ghosts. I mean, you know what happens in New Orleans. So things got, I mean, things get crazy. But it's so fun. And the culture in New Orleans, I've not been everywhere in the U.S. by any means, but I've covered a lot of territory. And I feel that the culture in New Orleans is some of the best culture I've ever seen. Actually, you know what? Let me be honest. I have never seen any better of a cultural location anywhere in the United States than New Orleans. And it does not disappoint in the drinking area as well.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough, Jimmy. What is your number two? Or what is... your second one that you
well,
are to
Dan, before I get to that, why don't you tell us about your number two while I still try to find my number two. I'm still debating between a lot of things.
Number two for me, let's see. I'd have to say, I haven't really considered this, but, man, Jimmy.
Dan, you haven't considered it. You're the one who came up with the subject.
I know, but I'm asking you. You know, I'm the interviewer at this point. So,
Dan, this is my radio show. Dan, tonight is my radio show. We're broadcasting live from the Singapore studio, WGXC 90.7 FM ACRA, the now morning travel show from Singapore, Majula, Singapore.
Okay, all right, okay. I'll take over the conversation. And I'll just pick one out of the top of my head. But I would say probably in Munich, the beer gardens there. Back in 2005 when me and my buddies, we did an Alpine tour around Europe, hitting various countries. And one of the last places that we settled on was Munich, Bavaria, Germany. And... you know, it is renowned for its signs of beer consumption. And on a warm June day, couple of warm June days, we would go into the English Gardens, beautiful park setting in the middle of Munich, and have pavilions. Well, no, not really pavilions, just outdoor kiosk, like as if you would buy, I guess, fried dough stalls. It was just simply a stall that would offer different beers on tap, and just sitting there and taking in an atmosphere and all of that in the sunlight and just enjoying it with my friends there. You know, I mean, talk about beautiful green park with a stream running through it and the sunlight coming down and just taking in one of the most quintessential places of beer consumption in the world. Not that we really cared at that, but it was a great environment, and I would love to do that again. English Gardens, Munich, Germany, with my friends. That would be within my top three, Jimmy.
Damn, that's really solid. I'm still having a difficult time. I believe I fully know the number one. I just cannot.
Okay.
I know there's better than New Orleans. I'm just having a difficult time pinpointing where to put the dagger. I guess.
Go ahead.
I have to do it now. I mean, there's no time left, so I guess I just have to pick the first one that comes to mind. And although it's a very difficult decision, I think I have to pick Bangkok.
Okay. And why?
I mean, it's completely different than anything else you'd experience in the Western culture, whether it be the U.S. or Europe. And, I mean, Singapore has some great places, very westernized, and alcohol here is very expensive, very expensive. So you can't do – Singapore just can't win. So what else do you have? Okay, so you have Malaysia to the north. You have Indonesia to the south. Both are Muslim countries. Drinking is not really a big thing in either one. Although you can drink, it's not as difficult to get alcohol that it is in Morocco or anything like that. It's much easier to get it in Malaysia and Indonesia. Still, it's no Western country. So I picked Thailand because, you know, I picked Bangkok specifically because there's just, you know, it's just like a different vibe. It's like a Vegas, but like the real Vegas. Vegas is all about money, money, money. Bangkok is all about fun. They don't care about the money. Yeah, of course, money will be accrued, but they're not trying to steal everything you have or anything like that. They're just trying to make sure you have a fun time. And again, alcohol is decently priced. It's not the cheapest, but it's decently priced. And you get really good beer there. And, you know, the atmosphere that everyone's just, you know, from the locals to even the tourists, you know, everyone's pretty much got a good vibe. The vibe there is quite nice. Everyone's just having a good time, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, The Hangover 2 didn't choose to shoot there for no reason. I'm sure one of the producers went there before and had a blast and wanted to go back, or one of the directors, or one of the actors, or multiple. It was not just a fluke. It was shot in Bangkok. People like that place.
Very interesting. Very interesting. You know, maybe later on we'll have a call-in who has also been through that also been to Thailand, Jimmy, and they can offer their experiences. But if it's not this show, which it's not going to be this show, later on we'll hit. And you know what? We'll save the last, our ultimate experience for the next show.
No, Dan, no, I disagree.
You have come up with it.
No, I've known it from the beginning.
Okay, fair enough. Then I'll mention mine, which would be at the top of the Guinness factory in Dublin, Ireland.
Boom. I'm Dan. Dan, mine was the same.
And how do you like that? That's pretty unbelievable. We did not discuss this before this conversation. So that's pretty interesting, Jimmy. And I have to say, though, that whole tour was a great experience. The Guinness Factory in Dublin, as you go up a series of different levels in which the Guinness Company, it highlights the different dynamics involved in their entire industry, from first brewing the beer to then marketing the beer and then transporting the beer across the world, whether that be, you know, largely in shipping and whatnot. I mean, what a great dynamic tour that was, each level of the building going up until you ascend. And it, you know, as fate would have it, it's destiny. You are going to have a free pint after spending how many euros to get the ticket? I don't know, but it's a free pint once you get to the top. So once you do get to the top, it's a 360-degree view of, I would say, minimally, you know, Dublin is not a high city in terms of building height, and that is one of the highest points in Dublin. So you have one of the best views to see probably in all the city. Having a beer with one of your friends, a great pint of Guinness, it doesn't really, it's difficult to get better than that, if you ask me.
Dan, I completely agree, and I'm happy we got to share that experience together. And, you know, as you said, I mean, it's pretty much a low city. I think the biggest things were the hills. I mean, not even mountains, but hills in the distance were the only thing that really rivaled the Guinness building. Am I remembering this correctly, Dan, or am I wrong?
Well, yes. I mean, man-made structures. I think that the needle-like structure that they did, I think just near the river on one of the main thoroughfares, I think it's the Millennial Needle or something of that wording. It might be the highest point, but that's not, you can't, other than climbing that, which I don't think is possible, we were in the, probably one of the highest points, yeah, in town. So, I mean, that was, like I say, you know, it was you, me, and our friend, mutual friend, Al Medina. And that was just, you know, on a March day, that was spectacular. But I don't know, you have anything further to say than that, Jimmy?
No, I mean, Dan, absolutely. I mean, Dublin was my number one, and not because of what Dublin stereotyped for, but I wasn't going to specify the Guinness factory, but I was going to go into, I mean, obviously the Guinness factory is one part of the whole entire city. I love Dublin so much. Besides the travelers and the tourists that really kind of ruined a little bit of the vibe, but it was still minimum. I mean, the locals were so awesome. And, you know, I just, in terms of drinking cities, and, you know, hey, I had my days of clubbing. They are long gone. You can club in Dublin, but in terms of bars and chill bars, I have never, ever, ever, ever been to a place better than Dublin, Ireland.
I mean, you've been around, Jimmy, so that's quite the statement. Yeah, you know, and hopefully we can get there again. Hopefully Al Medina will be there with us once again. Nice to return to some places. But anyway, that is all good, all great. Let's move on to our next subject, and that might be where our show wraps up. But I'd like to know, and you, I'm sure you have a couple experiences, maybe not a multitude of them, but best walks or best hikes, best trails, best paths that you have been on while traveling. Go ahead.
Well, Dan, believe it or not, earlier today I had a long walk home from my bus stop, the company bus, to my apartment. It's about a 2K trip, and instead of me taking another bus, I just walk it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But that's all more. Right. That was more for comedic value. To be honest, just recently, Al Medina, who we just mentioned, him and I went on a trip, and we went to Luang Prabang in Laos, and we went out, we hiked up a massive amount, I think it was like 1,500 steps to go basically to a point where it's like an overview of the whole entire city, which is not really a big city, it's just mostly a town. And that was one of the biggest treks I've been on in a while. However, that being said, Dan, I went to Pattaya in Thailand. 4 weeks after that, I walked over 20,000 steps in one day. Before all of this happened, before I ever went to Luang Prabang, I was in Chiang Mai, Thailand, with also Al Madina, and I walked over 30,000 steps in one day. So, to me, it's not about a path, Dan. For you, I understand you like the wilderness, but people like me, I'm not about the path. I'm about what I'm going to see along the way. To me, my path are sidewalks, alleyways. Those are my paths.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't argue with you, Jimmy. I think that is very accurate of you to say, insightful, and it's not a revelation, but, you know, that's what makes our show right across the spectrum. You have your contribution and your element, and I allow for contribution in another element. Not that so extensive, but, you know, that's it's great that we have both sides. So I will say that among my top hikes, which have been many, or walks or whatnot, I would say in the Rockies, it would have to be among them, of which I went a couple years back in December, and, you know, I'd love to do it when it's full of green and it's in the summer months. In the snow, it's spectacular, obviously. But one such place was about 3 hours southwest of Denver in a place called Buena Vista, where the Arkansas River runs through at about 8,000 feet up, and seeing that river against the banks of just this beautiful rock color, which is not common in the eastern part of the United States, you know, a much more terracotta color that you find. And just being in that atmosphere, that clean air, and then from there going, and then in the opposite direction, seeing 14,000 foot high mountains. And it's just incredible, you know, in the valley in front of you. And then going into higher elevation on some other days, it was just, it was magnificent. I have to say that. And then among my top three also would be in San Sebastian, Basque Country, Spain, on the Bay of Biscay itself. San Sebastian, the great cuisine, small city on the northern coast of Spain, and the bay that's formed from these islands that just jut right up, and peninsulas that just jut right up from the town itself. One such, I don't know how much elevation, you know, a few hundred feet maybe, but one was Napoleon Battery, where just climbing through all this greenery in the and this was done in early February a couple years back, and just climbing until getting to the very top point of where an old fortress is, and seeing the surrounding, seeing the bay, and seeing the sunset from up there. You know, the sun breaking through the winter sky, and the winters are very wet, and this such day was one that was preceded with a lot of rain, and just gloriously the sun broke through the clouds and just cast itself in beautiful rays upon the entire town, the enveloping hills surrounding the town, and then well into the bay, well into the Atlantic, and it was just, you know, just glorious, as I say. It was unbelievable. But that was a solo walk, which I did, and I have to say, I'd love to do that again. But hopefully at some point soon. And then I would have to say that Florence, Italy would be would probably be top of the list, in which I've walked solo as well as with my buddies who I mentioned in the Munich conversation, and just wandering. I mean, you know, wandering through Renaissance mazes there and going up an elevation until we didn't know where we were going, and then finally hitting hitting some spots, you know, well above the city and got to Michelangelo and whatnot, and just seeing out in front of us a world we had not known before leading up to that point, as it was each one of our first foreign countries that we had been to, and what a remarkable spot, what a remarkable first place to be beyond your own country, taking in all that culture and all the physical beauty of which those points above the town had to offer, of which I don't know how many steps we had that day, Jimmy. It might not have been the 30,000 steps. It might have exceeded well beyond your 30,000 steps that you did with Almantina. But, you know, the mystery.
I doubt it. I mean, I was with Almantina, so I'm pretty sure I'm legit.
You know, but that was, of course, before the step counting craze had allowed itself to be on the technological consumption of we ourselves, which, you know, if I'm going to count steps, I'm going to, no, I'm not going to do it. But unless someone were to hide a monitor on me and then I were to discover it, that's the only way that I would know that I had accumulated so many steps. But, you know, that's where you and I have our difference. But that's not anything new.
Dan, just because the thing in my pocket, which also substitutes as a cell phone, tells me how many steps I walk, doesn't mean I'm doing anything wrong. Does it? I mean, does it? I'm going to tell you what, Dan. Every month I make sure I walk more than the next month, the last month. So I'm telling you, I think in the end it's healthier for me. You can't argue with that. I'm competitive. I want to beat last month. If I keep going at this pace, my God, I'll be Arnold Schwarzenegger by the time I'm 27 and I'm already going on 30.
Very good. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to argue. You know, I've learned I can't argue with you all the time, and I'm not going to argue with that point. But that's great that, you know, you can track your improvement. Anyway, Jimmy, I don't know about you, but I think whether we like it or not, we're going to have to wrap up this program on now boarding WGXC FM 90.7 Acre.
Dan, couldn't let me do all the pitches for this show. You had to still steal my thunder.
Go ahead. You can do it a whole lot better than me. Go right ahead. Whether you want to do it now or close up and do it then.
I will do it as we wrap up. I think we still have a few more minutes. We're only about 53 minutes in. So I think we got about 4 more minutes left until we really have to pass up. But I do want to say, Dan, our next show, 7th. February 7th, yep, for you in the U.S. I'm hearing rumors that there's going to be a very, very special guest on the show. I don't know whether they'll be in the U.S. studio or whether they'll be in the Singapore studio, but rumors are one of our key contributors will be live on the show, our next show, broadcasted on 7th February 7th, right before the bell hits on Chinese New Year here in Singapore and the rest of Asia.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's all I can say. That's all I can say this time. I don't have any names. I have nothing. I just heard. This is what I've heard. So you should be in the studio ready for this person. So I'm pretty sure they're not going to be coming here. But just be prepared. I believe we have a good, right, amazing show coming up next. And I hope everyone's listening for that. Until then, Dame, do you have any last words before I cast us off in stylish fashion?
No, I have. I've enjoyed talking with you once again, Jimmy. I've enjoyed hearing all of what you've contributed today on our show, and it was fun once again. I can't wait for 7th February or whatever that date is, and I hope that you come through with your promise here, deliver this person who's going to be a great contributor.
Dan, it was never a promise. It was just a rumor that I'm hearing through the rumor mill.
All right. Okay. Well,
I just hope you're ready to receive them in the Hudson office. Because I don't know if they'll be able to make it all the way to Singapore.
Okay. I will be prepared as best I can. I will, studio's always open, Jimmy. So whoever pops in, they pop in.
Well, nothing wrong with that. Dan, any last words?
That's it, Jimmy. That's it for me. I've got to continue the day here and be on with that.
Well, Dan, thank you. As always, a pleasure. Listeners, we love you. Thank you guys as always. And thank you for listening to 90.7 WGXC-FM, the Now Boarding Travel Show with Dan and Jim. Here's up next. Enjoy. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. Masalama. Sayonara. Adios. We've got to go.
If you live for something, you're not alone, my friend. So fill up the cup and lift your light up. A toast to life.
Luda. They say what don't kill me can make me stronger. So 2 drinks a night should help me live longer. I blow some smoke just to give my lungs a test. Cause why tiptoe through life to arrive safely at death? I'm on a journey, yeah, I'm on a roll. Sometimes gotta close my eyes just to open my soul. And tonight is the night I got a feeling that I'm about to act a fool. So if you go fix some drinks, me and Ursh are about to break some rules.
That's some red and gold, but the world is moving slow. I was born for the fast life. I go for broke, a lesson I can't afford. But for what it's worth, I'm ready to pay for the rest of my life. For the rest of my
party till I'm dead. What the hell is a life worth living if it's not on the edge? Trying to keep my balance, I'm twisted, so just in case I fall, written on my tombstone should say women, weed, and alcohol.
Got some red and gold, but the world is moving slow. I was born for the fast life. I go for broke, a lesson I can't afford. But for what it's worth, I'm ready to pay.
We'll be right back.
fill up your cup, lift your lighters, a toast to life.
I'm stuck in this moment, freeze the hands of time, cause I feel inner peace when I'm out of my mind. And you can call me crazy, but I like to roll the dice, so I'm willing to bet that I'ma be crazy for the rest of my life.